If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Luke chapter 12, and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1. Luke 12 and 1. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he, Jesus, began saying to his disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are no more valuable than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word may have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come, Father, this morning to hear from you. May your word ring in our hearts, our minds, resonate in our lives. We thank you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 starts out under these circumstances. Luke wants us to know that what's about to follow is in response to what Jesus is thinking and what he wants his disciples to know and understand about what they have just seen and heard. Much of what has happened recently has been Jesus' confrontation with the Pharisees. Now, there were two major religious groups in the first century, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a very liberal, politically connected, wealthy group. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were the more conservative. They were schooled in and knew their Bibles well. They knew the history. They knew the prophets. They loved God's law. They kept God's law to the best of their ability. The problem is they made or did not make the right connection to the law. Rather than looking at it and seeing failure, they approached the law in a very legalistic way and said, "Look at us and look at what we're doing." rather than seeing the law as God's standard of holiness and righteousness and that they couldn't keep it, they chose instead to take it, misinterpret it, and bring it down to their level so that they could say, look at us. So that unfortunately, they were drawn to or forced to create a mask, to play a role, to appear to be something that they were not. Of those two groups, Jesus would have identified most quickly and easily with the Pharisees. And that's why, perhaps, he spends so much time in conflict with them. They were so close, and yet so far away. He's been confronting their hypocrisy. In that, Luke tells us, many have gathered. They're hearing Jesus. They're hearing this confrontation with the religious leaders. There are some who are encouraged by it. There are some who've just come to see a good fight. But there's a crowd gathered. But notice, he turns his attention to his disciples. He doesn't want them to miss the significance of what's going on. And so he begins. The first lesson, verses 1, 2, and 3, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, I am not the baker, I am not the son of a baker. But I do know that one of the things leaven does is it touches everything, which is the point here. Leaven is good. Oh, not by itself, but when added with all the right ingredients. So leaven in and of itself is good. But the point that Jesus wants to make is that there's something about the Pharisees, there's something in the what they're teaching and the way they're teaching that has infected everything. So he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What is that? Well, the last part of verse 1, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, we know the English word hypocrisy, pretending to be something you're not, putting up some kind of a false front. In the first century, the word that Jesus uses here is a theatrical term. It's a reference to a mask or a costume. In the first century, all the parts of a play were played by men. It didn't matter, male or female role, they were all played by men. And so the costumes were quite intricate and were designed to completely cover or mask the actor. Who he was didn't matter. The only thing that was important was the character he was portraying. They are not who they think they are. They are not who they say they are. They think they've covered themselves well. However, just as Tiffany sang, the flip side of that coin of being known is he knows everything. So Jesus says, all that has been covered up, all that you've covered, everything you think you've covered with that costume you're wearing, it will be revealed. Everything the Pharisees had tried to hide from those who were watching, it will be known. Things said in the dark when no one else was around will be heard. Things that were whispered will be proclaimed. That's both sides of being known. You can't say something so quietly that God doesn't know you said it. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I got the ear mic wire caught around the chair, got up, lost it, lost my glasses. Remember I said I was sure glad you didn't hear what I said? I also remember saying I didn't say that, but what I did say was something I shouldn't have said. But God heard me just as clear as day. We're tempted, just like the Pharisees from time to time, to think that if you don't see me, nobody saw me. If you didn't hear me, nobody heard me. When in fact, the only person who really counts can and does all the time. And God not only hears what you say, he not only sees what you do, he knows what you thought. You see, we think we've made a big step, and there's a sense in which we have, when we can think something and keep from saying it. I have said, some of you have even heard me say, I don't remember the last time I got in trouble for something I didn't say. But God heard the thought, even though I was able to keep myself from saying it. He knows it all. He knows me completely. And that's what the Pharisees had forgotten. The law was not made to be kept. It was made to show man he needed a savior. It wasn't made to be played with so that you could somehow feel justified by it all. It was to leave you wanting a redeemer. Instead, they covered it all up, put on a mask, a costume, and played a part, a righteous man, in need of nothing else. So Jesus tells his disciples, take off the mask. Be real, be open, be honest. I hope that's a goal for all of us. I wish I could tell you that I get there all the time. I don't. But for each of us, the goal should be to be who we are. What you see is what you get. What you see publicly is what you see privately. What's spoken publicly can be anticipated privately. That's what Jesus is calling his disciples to. Be open, be honest. Understand the value and the purpose of God's word. Secondly, verse 4, fear the one who values you. And I put 4, 5, 6, and 7 together because I think that's where Jesus is going in what he's saying. Fear the one who values you. He's the one, verses 4 and 5, he's the one who determines your eternal destiny. There's more at stake than the quality and the quantity of your life. In fact, there's more of significance in where you spend eternity. Life can be hard, life can be tough, life can be unfair, life can seem unreasonable, all of that. And something will take your life. It may seem unfair. It may seem tragic. It may be difficult. But that's all it can do, whatever it is. Just take your life. The question that is truly important is where you will spend the next minute. Where will you be when life is over? You want to be rightly related to the one who offers eternal life, not the one who offers eternal judgment. And the one who determines your eternal destiny is the one who truly values you. The illustrations almost seem insignificant. Birds, little birds, relatively cheap birds. And hair. But what's the point of Jesus' illustration? God knows them all. If God is concerned about sparrows, how concerned do you think he is about you? And if in his vast knowledge of who you are, he even has a line item that says he has this many hairs on his head. He knows you that well. If he values you that well and knows you that well, he's the one you want to fear. Unfortunately, we can get caught up in present circumstances and let them consume us. When what we really want to do is find ourselves drawing closer and closer to the one who loved us, who provided salvation for us, and who is looking forward to spending eternity with us. Think about that for a moment. God created us to enjoy him. Fear the one who values you. And then finally, the Holy Spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And I know in the middle of this is a tough statement, but don't in that lose the point here. The Holy Spirit will teach you what you ought to say before men. Verse 8, and I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks, well, let's know 8 and 9. Jesus says this in many different ways, many times throughout the Gospels. A public confession, a public testimony, publicly aligning ourselves with Him is an integral part of what it means to be truly saved. Do we get it right all the time? No. Peter's a good example of that. I'm a good example of that. But characterized by the way we speak and the opportunities that we get, we will recognize God as our Father, Jesus as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit as the one within us. We will identify with them. Now, the challenge is verse 10. He says, everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Now, there are a couple of things that stick here. And not everyone agrees. The first that kind of creates a question is there really something that God will not forgive? Is there something I can do that if I do it, God will turn me away or he'll turn me out? He'll take my salvation away from me? Or if I'm not saved yet, will he lay that charge against me and say, I'm sorry. You can't be saved. Well, that's not true. I know that's not true. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no sin I can't repent of that God won't forgive. I mean, he said that. I'm not saying he said that. Okay. So then we look and see. So what's happening here? He who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit. Remember the context. Jesus' confrontation with the Pharisees. Earlier in the book of Luke, we skipped over it in our move toward Easter. He confronts them when they accuse him of working in league with Satan. The Pharisees reasoned, if we say he's got this power, and he clearly does, no one was questioning the miracles. It only takes liberal theologians who are looking at it after the fact to question them. Those who were there knew they saw a miracle. So you either say, aha, this is the work of God, this is the Son of God, we need to believe him, we need to follow him. The only other option you have, this was miraculous, is to say he's working in league with Satan. This is satanic power. And that's how he's doing this. And so we can dismiss him. Now, when they do that, Jesus offers up the argument that that makes absolutely no sense. Satan divided against himself will not stand. That cannot be. And then he challenges them. He says, persist in this conclusion that what you are seeing is the work of Satan, you will not be saved. Now, I know I'm adding my own slant to this, so some of you know where I'm going already. But if they could look at what Jesus did and attribute it to Satan, if they could ignore the work of the Holy Spirit, which is the point of what Jesus is making here, you can talk against the Son of Man. You can, you know, say things about me from time to time in my humanity. But if you continue to speak against the Holy Spirit, you cannot, will not be forgiven. So it's a sin identified with a particular group of people, the Pharisees of Jesus' day, who got to see, who were eyewitnesses of what Jesus did, and who persisted in their false conclusion. Because we know there were Pharisees who did eventually become believers. But had they persisted in this view of who Jesus is and the power with which he did it, Satan as opposed to God, or Satan as opposed to the Holy Spirit, they could not be saved. So that's the challenge. And then what would you say to rulers or authorities? And oh my, the church has had to deal with this down through history. What do you say when you're being challenged, whether it's by religious leaders or political leaders, for your faith? Jesus is telling them, this is where you just lean into the Holy Spirit. This is where you let him help you find the words. Later, the Apostle Paul will say, there will be times when you will find yourself in prayer and you just cannot find the words to express your heart. And Paul says, the Holy Spirit will provide those words. The Holy Spirit will stand between you and your Heavenly Father, and he will communicate for you. So Jesus is promising here, you find yourself in that position, you find yourself in a place, whether it's before religious leaders or authorities of some sort, and you wonder, what am I going to say? Don't worry about it. When the time comes, God, through his Holy Spirit, will give you the words that you need. God knows you inside and out. You can't hide anything from him. Don't even try. He values you. Is that not wonderful? He values you. He values me. He loves me. And in light of that, perhaps, get to know and obey the Holy Spirit, the one within you. Paul calls the Holy Spirit the guarantee of things to come. God in his Spirit representing himself within you. the promise of an even greater relationship with God himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to challenge and encourage us. You know us. You know who we are. You know the plans you have for us. You know what we could be. You know what we will be. And in that you find great value. May we live this week, in light of that truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.